Our previous governor and current junior senator was a crucial supporter of the lab, and our current governor has been a vocal proponent because of its potential for bringing jobs and brain power to South Dakota. The experiments currently there and that will be built will deepen our understanding of the universe and some of its most mysterious and elusive components, namely neutrinos and dark matter. So can I have a round of applause for what South Dakota has done for science? Thank you. And if you want to see more about more of what Sanford Lab is all about, I invite you to Neutrino Day, July 8th and 9th in Lead. If we want more of this kind of support from our elected officials, we need to exercise our influence at the ballot box. For many of us, the next opportunity to do this is quite soon. How many of you know we have municipal and school board elections this June? Okay, this is good, because our city council members and school boards need to be as scientifically literate as any other officials. Now, the concerns that have brought us to this march are all real and valid. Large parts of our society do not support or trust science in many important issues, and many of them are on the signs out there today. Climate change, biological evolution, the age of the earth, vaccines, genetically engineered food, and so on. The first question I want to talk about is, what can we do about this? I don't have an easy answer, but my experience has shown me a lot of ways that don't work, so maybe that can at least narrow down our options. When I encounter in person or on the internet someone who I think is wrong about a scientific topic or who thinks a whole branch of science is a fraud, I tend to have one of two reactions. Either I will try to convince them with a well-sourced, data-driven, logically sound argument, or, when that doesn't work, I will be tempted to mock, belittle, insult, and yell at them in a manner somewhat resembling Daffy Duck. Neither of these approaches is effective. An excellent illustration starts with a package that appeared in the mailboxes of myself and some of my colleagues a few days after I volunteered to give this speech. It contained a booklet, this one, a booklet and a DVD from the Heartland Institute, which describes itself as an organization devoted to free market solutions to social and economic problems. The booklet is called Why Scientists Disagree About Global Warming. I think a more accurate title would be Why We Don't Believe, or maybe Why We Don't Want to Believe, Scientists About Global Warming. It is a well-written set of arguments against the current scientific understanding of global warming and climate change. I could probably refute this book chapter by chapter, point by point, and many climatologists could, and probably have, done that far better than I could. But it wouldn't do any good. Studies have shown that trying to sway someone from a deeply and firmly held belief using facts will not work and may well backfire by making them more entrenched in their erroneous belief. The rejection of certain scientific findings is usually not about data or logic, which brings me to the second question. Why does this distrust exist in the first place? As far as I can tell, it's about very real and powerful human emotions like anger and fear. I did not have to read very far to see what the authors of this book fear. Right in the foreword, I read about concerns that the government will regulate what kind of cars people can drive, where we live, and what jobs will exist. Fears that it will use global warming to destroy millions of jobs and condemn millions to poverty. The authors and our neighbors who agree with them are afraid that global warming is a false pretense to take away their freedom, their money, their jobs, and their children's opportunities. Of course, climate change is not the only issue around which such fear has been created. Parents are terrified that an MMR vaccine will give their children autism. The designers of the Creation Museum, which is a fascinating place to visit, are afraid that evolution is atheism in disguise and is responsible for all sorts of evil, from the Holocaust to the Columbine massacre. These fears are real and very powerful, regardless of whether they have any basis in reality. And they lead to great anger. If I ignore these fears, I will never make any progress building support for science. If I mock and belittle them, I reduce those with whom I disagree to caricatures, and I forget that they are people with minds, souls, and emotions who are as worthy of respect and compassion as I am. The authors of this booklet, my friends, the head of the EPA, and our president are all human. They are dead wrong about a great many things, but that does not give me the right to treat them as less than human. Instead, I try to understand, for I am afraid and angry too. I am afraid the denial of climate change will cause irreversible damage to our civilization. The brunt of this damage will fall on those who can least afford it, and that makes me angry. I am afraid that rejection of evolution and cosmology will make our society less scientifically literate, and that that will cause us to fall behind the rest of the world in our ability to create jobs and innovate for the future, and that makes me angry. I am afraid that the anti-vaccination movement will lead to the resurgence of preventable diseases. Children in America could soon be dying of diseases that we can prevent with a needle prick, all because of a lie, and that makes me angry. We can choose, I believe we can choose to be not to be ruled by fear and to turn our anger into constructive emotions. I am a follower of Jesus Christ, and so are many of those who deny much of modern science, a fact which causes me great pain. Jesus commanded his followers many times to be not afraid. He told us not to let the sun go down on our anger. I believe he wants me to love my neighbor as myself, even if that neighbor is a young earth creationist anti-vaxxer who thinks climate change is a hoax. I didn't say it was easy, but unless I do that, I have little hope of convincing anyone of anything. I wish I could give you a magic bullet for how to convince your neighbors to support real science, but I haven't found one. I think I have convinced one person in my life that climate change is real, and that took 10 years of friendship and some rather remarkable circumstances in his life. I can tell you who have been the best teachers in my life for communicating science, and I invite you to look them up. Catherine Hayhoe of Texas Tech University. Dr. Francis Collins. Randy Olson, author of Don't Be Such a Scientist. Alan Alda, Neil deGrasse Tyson, and Carl Sagan. I can also tell you that some people are working to bridge the partisan and religious divide over climate change. I think there's a banner of one of them right below me here. Republican, founded by former Republican Congressman Bob Inglis, works toward free market conservative solutions to climate change. A group of Republicans led by James Baker, former Republican Secretary of State, have proposed a similar set of conservative solutions to the reality of climate change. The Climate Solutions Caucus in Congress has 36 members, equally divided between Republicans and Democrats. The American Association for the Advancement of Science has a program called the Dialogue on Science, Ethics, and Religion, designed to facilitate communication between scientific and religious communities. I am a member of the Emerging Scholars Network and the American Scientific Affiliation, which both encourage people of faith working in academia. I'm amazed at how much good news and hope I can find if only I know to look for it. Well, thank you all for listening. Let us remember to vote in June, to thank our elected officials and generous donors when they do support science, and to treat those who do not support science with all the understanding and compassion we can muster. I like the advice of President Kennedy, which he gave at American University in 1963. I think it is good motivation for our march today and good to remember when dealing with those with whom we disagree. He said, "For in the final analysis, our most basic common link is that we all inhabit this small planet. We all breathe the same air. We all cherish our children's future, and we are all mortal." Thank you, and happy Earth Day.